What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, folks, welcome back to another edition here of the Dolphins Roundtable on Krantz's Corner. The usual suspects are with me as always. We got some Dolphin news to talk about. We had super, just regular wild card weekend. I know we can't call it super anymore. Somehow they took it out. I don't know why, but it's crazy that they did. Why not just call it super wild card weekend NFL? Give me a break.
Still super to me.
Right, still super to me at this point. Right, there it is. And there's Mike from DolphinsTalk.com, Dougley Durong as well. All the guys are here. I guess we'll start with that. What are your thoughts on wild card weekend? Everything is done. I guess the biggest shocker, Jaden Daniels coming out with a big win against Tampa. Doug, let's start with you. What do you think about wild card weekend?
For the most part, it kind of went the way I thought it would,
right,
except for that Chargers game. Mm. Like, again, I'm not that guy. Don't be that guy. I'm not that guy who's going to knock down somebody else to raise up our quarterback, but woof, man, Justin Herbert looks horrible.
Sure did.
And you know, everyone comes out and talks about Justin Herbert this, Justin Herbert that. Oh, he set records. He set records his rookie year, and I keep bringing it up. Records don't mean anything if you can't get the wins. I'm pretty sure Dan Marino would take all of his records, which are now mostly gone, throw them in the trash for one Super Bowl ring. So those records mean nothing. And he, you know, again, he come out. And he just 4 interceptions. One of them was not his fault. I will say one of his interceptions was not his fault. The other three, like the one to McConkley, where he had to jump up, 100% Herbert's fault. Like he oversailed that ball interception. That game, I was like, wow. The best game, though, obviously, was Washington versus Tampa. That game was amazing. Outside of that, it kind of all went as I thought. Ravens beat the Steelers, as I expected. Bills destroyed the Broncos it didn't matter who. If it was the Dolphins, the Bengals, or the Broncos, the Bills were going to destroy whoever they were. You know, the Bills, that's just what they do. But good game. But Jordan Love, Justin Herbert, bad games from them. And again, me saying that, let me put a preference here. Me saying that has nothing to do with Tua. Tua's on the couch with ice on his hips, eating chips.
Eating chips.
Right.
That's what he's doing.
Good one. Yes. I'm glad you threw that in.
Justin Herbert, I can sit here as an unbiased football fan and say Justin Herbert and Jordan Love look like garbage.
Right. In the back of my head a little bit, and Mike, I'm going to get you in a sec, I was kind of laughing at the Herbert interceptions the whole time after all the chat over the last 5 or 6 years, whatever it was with the Tua and Herbert. Oh, but Herbert's better. And everything. Man, if Tua got in that game and threw 4 interceptions – oh my God, Miami Gardens have been lit on fire down here. I can't even imagine what it's like in LA sports talk radio and the LA sports scene right now, knowing that happened. Although we are, and by the way, caveat, we're taping this before the Rams and Vikings play. It's going to play, this is going to drop Tuesday night, but we're not going to have any of the results from that. But if the Rams somehow lose and keep it close, Justin Herbert is going to get roasted by LA fans for the next couple months. Herbert's only hope is that the Rams tonight lose by 100 and that they're talking about that in LA and not Justin Herbert for the next couple months, whatever. Mike, your thoughts, wild card weekend.
Yeah. Washington, Jaden Daniels, he is going to be the future of this league. The face right now is obviously Pat Mahomes, and you got Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. And those guys are entrenched in the middle of their careers. But the future face is that kid right there. He's the real deal. He's everything you want. Rookie coming up huge in a big spot. He was fantastic Sunday evening. They're probably not going to win next week, but they might shock the world. Either way, that's a team to watch in the next 3 to 5 years. I think they might get a ring with him in his first 3 to 5 years. He is that good. Philly looks, say what you want about the Eagles. That roster's loaded. Howie Roseman, God, I mean, the best general manager, and not even close. Right. That guy knows how to build a winner, and he's building a winner and now they're paying their quarterback. It's easy to put together a team when you have a quarterback on a rookie deal. He has put together a winner, and they're paying the quarterback because they draft so dang well. Every signing they make, they hit on, it seems like. I'm sure they got misses, but you know what I mean. For the most part, they hit. So they're absolutely fantastic there. And on AFC, the Bills, here's the shocking thing. Ravens and Bills win. That's no shock. The Ravens are a 1.5-point favorite next week in Buffalo.
Right.
Now, look, I don't like the Bills. I don't. But Bills at home getting 1.5?
Right.
That's tough to look the other way on. Right. Now, I'm not going to do it because as a proud Miami Dolphins fan, I don't want to have to root for them.
Right.
And I'm not going to root for them just to lose by one. So they lose and I win my bet. No, I won't do that, Dolphins fans, just for you. But the Bills plus 1.5 is a weird point spread. But I do like the Ravens. I think this might be the Ravens year. And when you get Henry running downhill, good God almighty, that's physicality. You want to look at the Dolphins. How do you play physical? Look with the Bills, how much time Josh Allen had back there in the pocket and how they ran it down the throats of the Broncos. And then just look at the Ravens and what they can do. And, you know, and then you also look at the Eagles and what they do. Then you kind of look at the Lions and what they do. If I'm copying a blueprint, Mike, I know you like speed and be on the edge and stuff. Your way don't work. There's about 6 or 7 teams who do it that way, and that works. Maybe do that and have that way. Now, I'll say this about Herbert. I don't want to pile on Herbert because I've said, and not what you said, Doug, because you said it perfectly like a sane, rational human being in that, you know, I'm not going to tear down someone else to prop up our guy. No, that's not the case. But Dolphins fans on social media, Saturday night, were celebrating like the Dolphins won a playoff game
right. Because
Herbert played bad. And I know for some fans, they take solace. And, you know, maybe our guy sucks, but he sucks too. He sucks. Just like, I don't get that mindset. I don't get it. But for those fans, not Doug, what he said, but for those fans who feel the need to tear him down to make their guy seem better, here's the whole debate in a nutshell with an analogy. Two is like a porn star who can't get a hard on, making it impossible to shoot scenes with because he's useless because you can't depend on him. Herbert's a porn star. He might have a small penis, can't hold out long, a little bit clumsy at sex. But at least at the end of the day, the cameras are rolling and you'll get a film. Might be a short film, but it's a film nonetheless. Tua, you know, he doesn't even play in these big games outside of one last year versus Chiefs in the playoffs. He's always injured. You can't depend on him. So is Herbert going to Canton? Is Herbert perfect? Is Herbert great? No, clearly not. But if you're asking between the two, which one you want, anyone who still says Tua is a bad faith actor who's lying. Yes, Herbert has his flaws. He didn't play well. He only had 3 interceptions all year through 4-1 game. It was a bad day at the office. But at the end of the day, any rational level-headed fan still wants Herbert over Tua for all the reasons I said. Tua, you can't depend on him to stay healthy, and he never beats good game. He never beats teams that are good. Herbert this year had 4 quality wins alone just this year. He's beaten Pat Mahomes in the past. He's won at Philadelphia. He's beaten Cincinnati. Tua's got none of that stuff on his resume. So I understand Herbert played horrible. Pile on. Everyone can have their fun. But for those fans who want to compare those two, which I don't know why they still do it, don't, because you look awful still at the end of the day.
Right. It's, you know, it's interesting because, like I said before, I was kind of smirking a little bit when Herbert was throwing all those interceptions. But yeah, we can't act like that fan base. You can't do that if you're a Dolphins fan.
Because our guy doesn't even play. He doesn't play.
Right.
He was hurt.
Right. Like, I mean, you could say whatever you want. You can compare the two. We can go stat for stat, win for win, as they've been in there, and that's fine. Justin Herbert, outside of a little bit of time, like, I think he played, like, if he didn't play every game this year, it was very close to it.
Oh, he's played, Zach, missed 4 games ever.
Right.
And that was last year when they were already out of the playoffs. He broke his ribs in 2021
and played
one play.
Yeah.
One play, not one game, one play. Right. So, I mean, look, I get it. He's not a top 10 quarterback. He might not even be a top 15 quarterback. But if you're a Dolphins fan trying to tear him down to prop our guy up, no. Because I saw a lot of fans say, you know, if Tua stays healthy, he never stays healthy.
Right.
You can't say that. Like, if he stays healthy. Yeah. If I win the lottary, sorry, guys, I won't be here next week. You know, it's like, come on.
Oh, you'll be here next week. You'll look a lot better. You'll smell a lot better.
I'll be in a 3-piece suit.
Right. And hopefully they'll be nice.
I'll share the wealth. Huh?
Nice deposits in Dougley in my account.
I am very generous with my friends.
Yeah. I'm not worried. I'm hoping for it. The Florida lottery is at its highest it's been in a while. I'm playing this week, fellas. I'm just letting you know right now.
There you go.
It's not the Powerball. It's not throughout the country. The actual just Florida lottery is at the highest it's ever been. And we're playing here in the Krantz household. Probably a little more than we should, but gosh darn it, we're going to try our best to win it this week here. But you're right about all that. Like, it's enough with that stuff. And normally, when I get to the second topic, I like to switch it off and go, okay, we went with Dougley first. Let's go with Mike. I got to stick with Dougley here on this one.
Go for
because
it.
He's brought this name up 8,000 times since we started Crantz's Corner Dolphin Roundtable. And he's finally out of here. Crossman has been fired as special teams coach for the Dolphins. Listen, we're not taking a celebratory lap here, but I am letting Dougley start because we have brought this up 50,000. By the way, the only reason we're not is because Wes Welker's gone too, and I love Wes Welker. Whether you liked him or not liked him as a coach, I still love Wes Welker as a dude. But Danny Crossman, Dougley, the floor is yours. The mic is yours. I'm going to sit back. No longer a special teams coach of the Miami Dolphins. Your thoughts, Dougley?
I don't understand why. It makes no sense. He should still be the office. This
and
man,
Dougley, has derailed the podcast today.
Let me say real quick, Doug, before you start, I had one big dumb dipshit. Sorry, Zach, for swearing on Twitter. Actually, defend Crossman. I go, this has to be God. This has to be a burner account or his wife. And right. I'm like, I couldn't do it. I had to mute him. I go, I'm not getting engaged with this.
I had
now. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just to go off the go off a little bit. And I'm going to swerve back in there. I had somebody. I have multiple people actually on Twitter say to me that they would prefer Mike McDaniel over Mike Tomlin.
What?
Because there was the rumors that he might be out. And I said, oh, in a heartbeat, I'm dropping one mic for the other mic. He 100%. Hasn't won anything in 6 years.
We haven't won anything in 25.
Just saying. Right.
What?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then while I'm driving before, because I went to go get my daughter Chick-fil-A, I'm driving, I'm thinking to myself, didn't Andy Reid go on like a long tear of not winning anything with Philly before he went to, like, people, come on. Pete Carroll did nothing, goes to Seattle, wins too. Bill Belichick with the, all right, anyway. Crossman, gone. I don't understand why. It's not like for three straight years we were the bottom two special teams in the NFL. Like, it makes no sense. Since Mike McDaniel's been our head coach, we have been the bottom. Whether it's 31, 30, or 32, our special teams has sucked. And of course, they consistently bring back Jake Bailey because you know what? He holds the ball well. Well, maybe Sanders likes that in the locker room, but on the field, he can't kick them. So it makes no sense. So now what they do is they're like, oh, we can't stay with the status quo. They're staying with the status quo. We need to let's make the fan base happy. Crossman, you're fired. And they waited. And this was the fan base. I give a shit. Duh. And then they're like, well, then we also have to get rid of Wes Welker. And now we're like, what are you doing, dude? And I had people say, well, it makes sense why they got rid of Wes Welker. Who has he, you know, groomed? Or who has he had to work with? All of our receivers are either late round or undrafted free agents. And look what he did with Malik Washington, who's doing fantastic. If outside of that, he's worked with free agents. I don't get the getting rid of Wes Welker. Again, it's another scapegoat for them being inadequate and inept. And we're status quo. Status quo again, because no one else has moved, right? Right. Yeah, Reggie McKenzie going out and potentially working with the Titans as their GM. They just brought back three people for a second interview. Reggie McKenzie wasn't one of them. He's going to stay with us.
They're going to bring back more, they said, though. So he still might be in play there.
We'll see. Weaver is potential Bears-Saints interview. I don't think he's going anywhere. I would love for them to move off of Smith. If you really wanted a scapegoat, if you really wanted to make a move, it wasn't Welker. You fire Frank Smith, right, and you take Daryl Bevel, who already is being interested by the Browns as their offensive coordinator, and you promote him to offensive coordinator. Like, that's the go-to move.
Seems easy, right? Yeah, seems easy.
They're not. It's so easy. There's so many moves that a guy from New Jersey can see get done, and they're like, no, we're going to stick with the status quo, but they know better than we do, so...
They always do, right? They always know. We're always worried a little bit too much about just about everything. Mike, your thoughts. Crossman out.
Oh, first, I'm going to start with Welker because I think that's actually, to me, a larger story. Because on Tuesday last week, they held a press conference, and they're talking about guys being tardy, and we know everything going on with Tyreek Hill and stuff. And then the wide receiver coach is just gone. So I'm wondering if, look, we don't know for sure if Tyreek was one of the players who was showing up late that they were finding each week. If I had to bet a buck, I'd say he was probably one in the group. I'm wondering if there were other wide receivers in that group. And I'm also wondering if Wes sort of let it slide, maybe right. didn't ring the alarm bell sooner, maybe let some stuff go. With that room overall, when it comes to Tyreek and some other players, that was the first thing that popped in my mind. And here's the long and short of it. When you got Hill making all the money he's making, Waddle's making all the money he's making, no position coach can tell either one of those guys what to do. They're making so much money, they're not going to listen to any position coach. But their logic might be, well, Wes is too friendly with them. We got to bring in someone who's going to crack the whip a little bit in the wide receiver room. I don't know. I will say when it comes to other wide receivers, yeah, they really haven't invested. And I mean, they've tried, but like Odell Beckham, you got the two Washingtons were picked in round 6 and 7. One got hurt in camp. You know, Braxton Berrios is just, I mean, he's got nothing left in the tank. River Craycraft's always hurt. Eric Uzakama's always hurt. So I will say they might have expected him to make some magic with some of these younger guys. I don't know if that was fair. Probably not. But I got a feeling this has more to do with what was said at that Tuesday press conference last week about tardiness, you know, guys not being responsible. And let's be honest, there's been stories all year of some of the wide receivers running the wrong routes, and Hill and Waddle drop a lot of passes. Is that the wide receiver's coach fault? Probably not, but someone's going to take the shot for that, take the fall. He was the fall guy. So I wasn't stunned, but is what it is. Crossman, as Doug said, the past 3 years alone, 32nd, 29th, 31st ranked special teams. The 2 years with Flores, 27th, 28th, and actually 17th with Flores, because he's been here since 2019. It's just been a disaster. He had to go. And I was thinking about this too, watching the game this week. Anytime there's a big special teams play, I know the guy in Houston did it and stuff. Like, when you see a big special teams play, the camera always shoots the sideline. They got that lunatic special teams coach who's like, arms are flailing, jumping up and down, screaming after like a good punt. You know, if there's a punt put down inside the five, if there's a tackle or a good hit. Can you, in all those years he was here, Crossman, can you remember one time where the camera shot to Miami sideline and Crossman was one of the, like, I'm not saying you got to be that guy. But you watch a lot of football, all of us do. We see that pretty much every week and, like, in every game from one of the teams. We've never seen that with Crossman. And it's like, you know, that's what that job kind of is. You got to be like a mad scientist, lunatic, screaming and yelling. And this season when he said, and I was shocked when he said it. I had to watch the clip twice. I don't like to remind the players when they make mistakes in games. That's not an NFL. That's not how the NFL works. And the minute he said that, I'm like, look, I'm shocked he's still here and he survived 2022, 2023. But I'm like, what are we doing? Are we going to take everyone out for ice cream too after and just have a good time? He had to go, but does this move the needle in the big picture? No. I mean, it's a special teams coach. Anyone they get will be better. Lord knows they can't be worse, but does this change the needle of like where the, you know, trajectory of the team is going? No, but it's one of those feel good firings. And I hate to see anyone lose their job. Right. But Jesus Christ, this guy had to go.
Right. I mean, it's just, I mean, how many guys around the NFL could have a resume in a 5 year span where you're the special teams coach and the best you've gotten is to 27th? Like, that's the best you've gotten.
I wrote an article.
I mean, are you kidding? How does someone keep their job like that?
I wrote an article last year, which I'd have to find, covering his final year with the Bills, or his final 2 years with the Bills. The reason the Bills fired him, those same numbers. Like, right. He was bad with Buffalo, and our freaking organization goes, that's the guy we need.
That's him. Right. It's just incredible, because if any other job, and I'm not saying jobs in general around the world, I'm not saying the guy at McDonald's or the guy selling insurance or the guy doing, that's fine. I'm talking specifically in the NFL, where numbers are everything, where wins and losses are everything.
That's why, like, they got big giant scoreboards in the stadiums.
Exactly. And then you could have a guy on your team coaching the special teams for not one, not two, not three, not four, but 4+ or 5+ years. And he is no good. He's never been like 1 year top three. And then he had a drop off because you lost play. He's just never been there. And you kept him on the payroll. It's incredible to me. In any other job, he'd be fired. And if any other team around the NFL, a guy had that number, I don't think he'd last 5 years in that position. But now we do things here in Miami Gardens. He was a nice guy.
Collaborative effort. We're all friends. Right. We're looking to tear each other down.
Yeah, that's it.
It's the signs you see on the wall when you take your kids to kindergartens. No put downs. No put downs. Right. It's all that stuff. That's how they run this team. Right. And, you know, that's why you go 20 plus years not winning anything.
That's why it was surprising with the Welker stuff. You're right. It's surprising because McDaniel and Welker are buddies. So it was a little surprising with that. But I got a feeling, and I'm, you know.
Was
I'm
it McDaniel's call?
I'm not. I don't know. You know what the truth of the matter is?
I don't
know. If it was blatantly known in Chris Greer's office and around the team that three of the wide receivers are always the guys late and three of the wide receivers are always the guys that are getting fined every week, then yeah, Wes Welker should have been fired. He wasn't doing his job right. On the field, off the field, it's a two-part kind of job. Obviously, you want your guys to be the best they are on the field. That's what the coaching during the week does. But if off the field these guys are taking full advantage of the substitute teacher, then the substitute teacher's got to go at that point.
And to be clear, I don't know that as a fact.
No, we're speculating.
You don't need to be Columbo to connect the dots. Tuesday, we say this is a press conference. Friday, this guy's gone when nobody expected it.
Right.
Put two and two together, kind of makes sense.
Right, and that's basically where it was. All right, so we saw the Tyreek stuff after the game. I'm out. I don't want, bro, I got to go. It's not good for my family. We went through all the minutiae with that. Drew Rosenhaus did a whole bunch of interviews after that, and then he finally came out and said, well, Tyreek Hill is dedicated to the Finns. Are you buying? You're not buying? You selling at this point? Mike, I'll just go back. I'll start with you here as well. Buying or selling the dedication from Tyreek Hill to the Miami Dolphins?
No, I'm not buying it for a second. Tyreek, he says one thing one day, like the weather in Hawaii. 5 minutes later, it'll change. I don't believe one thing that comes out of that guy's mouth. He ain't dedicated to nothing. He might have been told to shut up a little bit after he gave that comment, and I'm sure he will. But, no, I mean, look, here's the deal. The contract's very tough to move, but it's not impossible. Mm. It all depends how much of a poop sandwich they want to eat, and that's what it comes down to. We ran a poll for some end-of-year awards. One of the poll was, like, offensive MVP. We put up a bunch of names. So I didn't expect him to win it. Out of like 700 votes, Tyreek got zero. Didn't get one. That's just a small sample size of the fans just being fed up with him. I think the fans are fed up with him. I'm pretty sure that the coaching staff is probably fed up with him. Yes, he is a first ballot Hall of Fame player. I think one of the best five wide receivers to ever play the game. I think he's that good, even at this age where he starts to cross over to the age of 30. But I think the crap you got to put up with him is just, it's gotten to the point where it's almost like not worth it. So do I think he is committed to the Dolphins? Absolutely not. And would I be stunned if he's in, like, I don't know, Washington, Cleveland, the Chargers next year? No, absolutely not. I think if it's not even about compensation back, it's all about how do the Dolphins want to manage a camp. And if it's, as long as we get something back that's like not insulting, we'll probably do it. But they do know their jobs are on the line, so they might want to keep him around and just, you know. But look, it's a ticking time bomb with Tyreek Hill. It will go off at the worst possible time. And we're getting close to that now because we saw the early signs this season. Then after the Jets game, saw a sign there. 2025, it might just go boom where he goes full meltdown. But I do not trust him for a second. I don't want him around anymore. I'd rather lose without him than win with him almost at this point. He is impossible to root for on the field. I know he's a great player, but, you know, some guys are just so tough to root for. I could read a list of the off-the-field issues since he's been in Miami alone. And then if you want to get back to the stuff he did prior to his time in Miami, it's just exhausting. And I think everyone's exhausted by it. And while he's a great player, no one can ever take that away from him. It's a lot. And I wouldn't believe one word out of his mouth ever.
Doug Lee, good luck following that up.
No, I don't. What should have happened, and I said this last week, is he should have took a beat. You know, it was a bad loss, but also you watch games where you have these team players like Saquon Barkley sitting on the sideline and the head coach comes over and says, you know, you want to go out there and you want to, you know, beat the record? And he's like, no, let the young guys take the snaps. I'm fine. He's like, you sure? He's like, yeah. You saw the other day against Packers. My brain just didn't want to work there. Jesus. Took one off. He was gone. Slid down. Like, he's just, that's what you want, right? You want more Clay's Campbells, more Sealers on this team. You want a guy who's going to look up the scoreboard and see, oh, Broncos are winning? I'm done. And what makes the optics even worse is there's audio of Waddle saying, Reek, you done? And it was like the middle of the third quarter. Like, what are you doing? So, yeah, it's Drew Rosenhaus is trying to do damage control. Right. And I feel like Drew Rosenhaus is trying to do damage control on two fronts. One, he might not get traded. And the Dolphins have, you know, him under contract. They are paying him for the next 2 years. There's an out after this upcoming season. The Dolphins can say, you're not going anywhere. And if you decide you're going to sit out, if you decide you're going to do this or so that, you're going to have to give us back our money, like plain and simple. You know, the Miami Dolphins did it with Ricky Williams, who they're not going to not do it with Tyreek Hill.
Right.
There's that, or Drew Rosenhaus is trying to do damage control so he can get a new contract with the new team, so there can be a trade partner, all this other stuff, because obviously the Dolphins would have to agree to compensation. With moving on from Tyreek, which I'm fine with that, because if you look at this team, no wide receiver is over 6 foot. And right. It gets to the point where you have Tua throwing 50-50 balls at the end of the Houston Texans game to Tyreek Hill, who gets the ball snatched out of his hand, or you have him throwing fade routes in the end zone to Tyreek Hill. We don't have tall receivers. So if we move on from Tyreek and like bring in a Higgins, I know Higgins has an injury history, which is Greer's MO, so we probably will. That makes more sense. His dead cap, so if the Dolphins trade Tyreek Hill, his dead cap is $28.3 million. They'd only save about $400,000. If you do it after June 1st, which is dumb, obviously you want the draft picks now, you save $15 million in cap space. What I would do if I'm the Dolphins, you're going to get a second, right? Say you just straight up, hey, we want to trade Tyreek. Say you package it and you send Tyreek and whatever to the Raiders for Crosby, right? That probably would go through. What I would do if I'm the Dolphins is I do the same thing I did with Ryan Tannehill with the Tennessee Titans. I'd say, look, we can get a second for him straight up. How about you give us a third? We give you a seventh or whatever, some type of a lower compensation, and you take $14 million of that $28 million dead cap. Right. So all of a sudden, we get a $14 million cap savings to be able this season to go out and get a Higgins, go out and get Davante Adams, maybe he gets cut. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Go and get a wide receiver over 6'1" so we can do something different. I'm all for that. But what I actually think is going to happen, I don't think Tyreek's going anywhere. I think he's going to sit here, and I think Tua's going to get, I don't want to say it, but if the season starts to fall apart, I'm going to knock on the wood. If the season falls apart again, he's going to start bitching and complaining, even though for the past 2 years he had the best years of his career. Now all of a sudden he has a little hiccup and he's gonna pout. So it's like, that's what you get, right? Randy Moss was the same, you know. Jerry Rice kind of was the same, but Owens, you know, Chad Johnson, you have these divas at wide
Antonio receiver. Brown,
they're gonna quit. So we'll see. You know, if I'm the Dolphins, like I said, I'll take a third, and if they can take some,
I'll take a third tomorrow.
Right.
Here's one fact, too, about his deal, which is a little bit quirky in some ways. Most of these guys in their deals get their roster bonuses and certain types of stuff paid for, like, around March, first, second week of March, when it's around free agency time. Tyreek gets a $15.85 million guarantee on August 31st.
Wow.
Which means if they trade him before week one, the other team has to pay that. Mm. Now, that means you're probably taking less back, because they're going to have to write that check.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But if they want to, if they're not, what they get back in return is like the big question mark. Obviously, they want something to help them this year. So if you'd want picks in this draft. But if they're okay with, you know what, let's take a beat. Why not? They've been here forever and they're probably not getting fired next year. Right. if we move on from him and we trade him in July or in August, that team has to pay it. We get picks for next year. And I think that opens up, I have to do the math, because I saw it this weekend, but it's not on the top of my head, like a lot of money on the 2026 cap, which makes some players in 2026 not only with picks, but with money. And a team might be willing to give you, let's say, a second in 2026, knowing I keep my picks this year, if they do something like that. So that $15.85 million, August 31st, if all depending on how safe they feel in their jobs, they could trade him and get picks for 2026 and say, you're on the hook for that. We'll take a nice pick, but in 2026. So this is going to get interesting. This will be the story of the offseason, honestly, because I think this guy, He can't keep his mouth shut. He's all over social media. He says stuff, and he always walks it back, like the time he was going to retire to be a porn star. You know, reputable news outlets run with that, but then he goes, I'm just kidding, which, okay, but if you're going to run your mouth and say stuff like that, you can't get mad. It's like when he filed for divorce that says, no, I didn't mean it, and then fire the guy who filed the paperwork.
Right.
Well, if you signed the form, why are you firing that poor son of a gun? All he did was follow your orders. Like, there's so much drama around this. So, you know, he can't keep his mouth shut. Drew, he should get every penny off of Tyreek again, because what that man probably has to put up with one of his five cell phones ringing nonstop, God bless him for having to put up with that, because it's a lot. And I think they would love to move on if it makes sense. If not, they're going to be stuck with him. But tick, 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 it's a time bomb.
I think you're right. I think, well, A, it's going to be the story of the offseason no matter what for the Miami Dolphins. I think that you're 100% right on that.
We got like nine of them.
Right, like, right.
Yeah, this is the big one. This is the one that gets on ESPN First Take lead
100%,
segment.
100%. The only good thing about that is we'll have plenty to talk about during this offseason.
That's right,
this
topics.
Is going to be one content, hell of an offseason.
Tua's contract extension to now Tyreek Hill.
Right. I mean, think about where we were last year at this time, the three of us, talking about Tua. And now
nauseating. I know.
Tua is here, and now it's everyone else around that we're going to be talking about for now at that point.
Even Rosenhaus at the end of that clip on with Pat McAfee, he first said, you know, he's committed to the Dolphins. This. If you wait like a minute or two later, then he goes, well, I don't want to speak for Tyreek.
Right.
Like,
he's
right. Totally out of both sides. So wait a minute. That thing you said literally 2 minutes ago, that doesn't count then, right? We're going with you can't speak for Tyreek.
I don't remember what I just said. I don't recall.
He used to run for politics.
Right. What's the Mark McGuire famous quote when he was on speaking before Congress? I'm not here to talk about the past. I'm not here to talk about the past. Yeah. That is Drew. Well, Drew, that was 2 minutes ago. That was the past. I'm not here to talk about what I just said 2 minutes ago. All right. That's going to do it for this week's roundtable. I have a ton of other stuff on the notes. We're saving it till next week. This was perfect. Great way to end this week with the Tyreek Hill stuff. We'll talk to you guys again next week as well. Mike, tell everyone where to find all the great content.
Go to the website, dolphinstalk.com, and on any social media platform, at dolphinstalk. Even follow us on TikTok before they shut it down.
Right. Be careful. You got a couple more days with that. Dougley!
YouTube.com/DougleyDoWrong and anywhere you can type that name in, I'll probably pop up somewhere.
You do. If you do it, it's weird. In random Google searches, Dougley Durong comes up, and you're just there. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I'm watching you.
That would be a porn name. That's Dougley Durong.
Dougley Durong would be a great porn name. I'm just letting you know right there. I don't know if your wife's in the house. If she's, I'm sorry to share that. And that's why the minute we're done, I turn my camera thing right off, because you never know where Dougley's going to be lurking at that
exactly.
point.
Exactly. I'm like the government.
Right. That's it. Always listening and always watching. Just like all the great viewers out there for us, and we appreciate it every single week. So for Mike and Dougley, I am Zach. This has been Krantz's Corner Dolphins Roundtable. We'll talk more playoffs next week and a ton more Dolphin topics this entire offseason, so stay with us there. Thanks again for watching, listening, subscribing, supporting the whole deal for us. For these two guys, I'm Zach. We'll talk to you again next week here, Krantz's Corner.